minutes after 11 p.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer!
Talk about him!
Lugie! Hopefully everybody's had a pleasant Lugie evening. 4-0 American League in the top of the ninth inning. RBIs for Bellinger, RBI for Ben Rice as they got the scoring going in the top of the first inning. The most noteworthy thing that came out of the game, Junior Caminero of the Rays was hit by a pitch. X-rays, and he left immediately, ran off the field. X-rays came back negative. Junior himself said he's good. He'll be ready to go on Friday. Mets are back in action on Thursday against the Phillies. And then the Yankees, of course, are hosting the Dodgers for a weekend set in the Bronx. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If Mason Miller becomes available, Brian Cashman and the Yankees, of course, should be heavily interested. They should put together a trade package that completely blows away the Padres in order to acquire Mason Miller. Mason Miller is one of the best closers in all of baseball. He's under team control for a few more years. He is a very, 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 very appealing player to acquire at the deadline. If I'm the Yankees, if I'm Brian Cashman, of course you do it. And I would put that near the top of the list as far as acquisitions and the perfect acquisitions for the Yankees. The only problem is I'm not sure that San Diego is going to want to trade Mason Miller for all the things that I just laid out. As much as the Yankees would want him or any team would want him, wouldn't that be the same reason the Padres would want him? And San Diego's not exactly out of this. Yeah, the division might be out of reach, but they're not out of the wild card, the Padres. They might not be buyers at the deadline, but doesn't mean they're going to be sellers. They may stay put. And Mason Miller is so talented and under team control for a couple of years. So in all likelihood, I would think the Padres would stay put. It makes all the sense in the world for the Yankees and Brian Cashman to trade for him, but I'm just skeptical that San Diego, that the Padres are going to deal Mason Miller. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Like I said, the Mets, they get their second half started against the Phillies. That is on Thursday. One of those weird, it starts on Thursday, then they're off on Friday. I don't know why they don't just come back with every other team on Friday, but they have a game on Thursday, no game on Friday, and then they wrap the series up Saturday and Sunday against the Phillies. Let's go to Frank in Manhattan here on After Hours. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Lugie. You guys had me laughing when you talked about both of you guys going to Disney World and waiting online and eating breakfast at maybe IHOP. How about that? That sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, Rosenberg always wants to share a dessert with me.
Yeah. Rosenberg has to learn that as far as Lugie goes in his career, so does Rosenberg.
You would think.
So if he doesn't please you, then I would get another producer. Sorry, Rosenberg, but that's the way the ball bounces. You ride the coattail of the host. The host does not ride the coattail of you. Remember that.
That's fair, Frank. That's totally fair. But again, I am the voice for the voiceless. So I need to make sure that Tommy doesn't take advantage of my guys. That's all.
Well, you got to understand, Rosenberg, that if Tommy Lugauer becomes $1 million or $2 million a year host,
certainly hope so.
Probably $1 million or $2 million a year producer. So you got to please him.
Frank, speak it louder. Speak it louder, baby.
Frank, there's a better shot, especially the latter part of what you said there, of Sidney Sweeney moving into my house than Rosenberg making $1 million as a producer.
Tommy, when are you going to be at the Fan Fest again? I'm going Friday. You going to be there Friday?
No, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there Friday. I'm hosting on Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest.
Because a friend of mine is supposed to get me the tickets. I think he wants to go Friday. If he wants to go Saturday, then I would probably show up at your Fan Fest.
Awesome. I don't know exactly where we're broadcasting. I know year one we were on the sort of the first floor, and then year two, we were more on the, it wasn't a second floor kind of thing, it was more of a bottom floor, so I don't know how you want it. Maybe that's technically the first floor, but when you walk in, there's a main floor, and then you go down steps, and that's the other floor, actually a couple of steps. That's where we were last year. I'm not particularly sure where we're going to be this year, but I know we're going to be there, and I'm going to be there Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Well, if I go Saturday, I'll be looking for you guys. Great. But listen, Rosenberg is going to be there Saturday too?
No. No. No.
Rose?
No.
Okay.
Why would he be?
He's not producing your show, no?
I'm glad that you brought that up, because before the show, I had to tape sort of a hype video for it, and Rosenberg helped me out with it, and he goes, who's going to be your producer that day? And in typical Rosenberg, instead of saying, you know what, you probably don't have a producer that day, I'm going to step up, I'm going to go to upper management, and I'm going to be there for you so I can produce the show for 4 hours in person. That's not what he did. He more just said, hey, who's going to be your producer? And then he ended it with a good luck.
Well, Rosenberg, you got to throw in your bit in there. You got
to throw your hat in the ring.
You know what? I already sent
to upper management.
I sent one message to upper management already tonight. I will follow up with another one.
What kind of message?
Well, you got to make Tommy. You got to please Tommy, because Tommy can speak up for you. He's the host. Remember that.
Remember
that. Don't forget that.
Don't forget that.
I can't imagine tomorrow afternoon. Greg Carton be dancing on this if he got a hold of you being on the, you had the producer for David Letterman on your.
Yeah, no, he was a great, mediator, I guess, because he was able to basically decide who was in the right there. But yeah, if Rosenberg wants to show up on Saturday, I obviously would like to have a producer on site, although I would imagine there will be representation here from the radio station that will act as producers, and Rosenberg will be back at the shop, which is totally fine as well. But I'm very much looking forward to the show, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. That is at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest this Saturday.
Matter of fact, I'm going to ask my friend tomorrow if he can get it for Saturday,
cool.
Instead, if he wants,
yeah, absolutely,
to go
definitely swing
Friday.
By.
I want to go Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've been listening to the fan. I've been listening to the fans since I was a young kid. I remember Pete Franklin, Steve Levy used to be on there.
Yeah,
Howie
yeah.
Rose had a gig at night. I spoke to him a couple of times in the late evening.
Yeah. Well, definitely love to meet you, man. So if you can't, but if you can, definitely try to get those tickets for Saturday. And like I said, swing by the, you can watch me do the show. We could talk during the break. So it'll be a fun time.
Because I remember going to the one in 2013 at Citi Field, the Jacob Javits Convention, the All-Star Feast.
Yes.
And I met, I got a chance to shake hands with the DJ, the talk show host, Casey Stern. I got a chance to shake his hand and get an autograph from him, from Rafael Santana, and Cliff Floyd was there.
Yeah, no, there's going
to
be there's going
to
be a lot going
on. Brandon Nemo was there during Brandon Nemo was there because of the young players, the young ones.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, I don't know specifically who's going to be there on Saturday, but there's going to be a ton of celebrities, a ton of athletes, a ton of radio hosts like us. So you have an opportunity not only to meet them, but meet me. And yeah, you want to get an autograph, photo, whatever you want, but I'll be there 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. That is on Saturday.
All right. Should I also maybe ask for a photograph of Pete Rosenberg? Or you think that's asking too much?
Of Pete Rosenberg, I don't know if you want to get it from Pete, but you can get it from Paul Rosenberg. I'm just teasing. Frank, you want to talk?
I'm sorry.
No, it's
sorry.
All good. It's all good.
I mean Paul Rosenberg.
You can
I'm
get it.
Of the other one.
Yeah, we'll put his autograph on a piece of toilet paper, I guess. But yeah, what do you got to say about the Mets?
You guys made me laugh, man.
No, I hope so. That's the thing. I never know, Frank. And I got to let you go just because we weren't getting to the Mets there. And I gave him multiple opportunities to get to the Mets. If you notice there, I was giving him sort of the verbal hints of let's move on to the Mets, but he didn't want to. But we could talk Mets when he in person. If Frank shows up, maybe we could talk to him in person there about the Mets. I'm all for that. Where was I with this? Oh yeah, so yeah, I could give autographs out during the breaks. That's all good. In fact, I get to Ricky Bobby autograph mode when I'm at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest. In fact, I signed, I believe, a Brett Beatty jersey, not for Brett Beatty, but for a fan that had a Brett Beatty jersey, and I caught a lot of heat for it here. But I was like, dude, the guy asked me for an autograph, so of course I was going to give it to him. Why not? You want my autograph? I'll sign your baby. I don't care what you offer up. I'm going to sign it. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, Tommy?
Great. How you doing?
What do you think? We need to get a power hitter and as much pitching as we can for next year.
For the Mets.
For the Mets. Yeah, we need a first baseman. I don't care if Polanco's back. We need a power hitter. Whether that's signing somebody, trading for somebody before the agreement runs out, or getting a big prospect in one of these trades at the deadline. that could help us next year. So what I think they'll do is I think they're going to try to get as much pitching that could help us next year and some young talent that could play first or third for next year. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they already have their outfield is set. I think a lot of their rotation is set with their young pitchers. I would like to see them extend Clay Holmes. As far as Polanco's going to be a part of this team some way or the other, I'd like to see Bo Bichette as a part of this team. Hopefully he opts in. If you want to add a power bat somewhere on the corner infield, I totally understand that as well. Catcher situation, I think, is probably going to stay the same. I don't think there'll be as many changes as a lot of Met fans, my fellow Met fans, think they're going to be. But some of the things you laid out there make a lot of sense. And then the relief pitchers, you can trade a lot of them and get, I think, a lot back for, especially Luke Weaver. To me, he is the Mets' most... Besides, you know, they're not trading Soto, but if they did, obviously they'd get a boatload for it. But as far as somebody that they are in the market of trading, and that is a guy like Luke Weaver, they're going to get a lot back for him because he's been sensational and he could be a closer on really most teams in baseball right now.
One more question, Tom. Do you think, I hope Bichette comes back. Do you think he's going to opt out or do you think he's coming back?
I think he's coming back, and I say that because where is he making this kind of money? He's making, what, $42 million? Where is he making that on the open market? So even though it's a one-year opt-in, he has another year and another opt-in after that, but what kind of money are you going to make as far as that type? You're not going to get that money dollar amount. So I would think you could opt back in and then...
Especially with the agreement up in the air, you know?
I mean, that's such an unknown, and I'm operating on the pretense of I think there'll be more of a salary floor than a salary cap. But obviously, whatever happens with the collective bargaining agreement with the CBA will go a long way in teams and what they're going to be spending next year and beyond.
You think they could turn it around next year, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they could turn around this year. You know me. I'm thinking they could turn around this year. I think they can turn around next year. I don't think they're... If you are of the sort of mentality that they can't turn it around and they're far from it, I think they are a lot closer than you think. It's just been a weird year in some ways with injuries and Lindor and a couple other things, but I think they're a lot closer. They shore up that rotation and things will look a lot different.
Everything went wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep. You got it right. Yeah, in many ways. And it's not just injury excuses, but Lindor's kind of been in a funk. And you're starting to see a lot of these young players blossom, like Ewing, like a Zach Thornton, like a Carson Bench, like a Christian Scott, and obviously Nolan McLean. And Juan Soto is the centerpiece of this, along with Francisco Lindor. And I think there's a lot more positives attached to the Mets than you think based on watching the team. Like, if you just went off the record, I'm not going to put the lipstick on the pig there, but what I would say is there's a lot of things to like about this team, and I would start with that outfield, which I think has a lot of things to be excited about, with the centerpiece being Soto, but the way Benj has played this year and the way A.J. Ewing has looked, especially going into this All-Star break where he's been red hot, plus defender, speed, has shown you the ability to hit the ball over the fence as well, high average, hitting over 280. A.J. Ewing was hitting over 280, might have dipped a little below it, but still, he's batting, I think, over 300 in the last few weeks. Ewing continues to progress. Benj continues to progress. Soto, we know what he is. I'm not trading Lindor. I hope that Bichette opts into his contract for next year because Bo Bichette, like a lot of players that had a big-time track record before coming to the Mets, you think about a Piazza, you think about a Beltran, you think about a Lindor, you think about a Soto. All those guys struggled early on in their Met careers, and unfortunately, Bo Bichette kind of followed the suit with those guys, but Lindor turned it around, Soto turned it around, obviously Piazza and Beltran turned it around, so I think Bo Bichette is in that same sort of breath. I think he'll have a big-time second half, and I hope the opts in because we're going to see the Bo Bichette that we all thought we were going to see coming from Toronto, which is a guy that hits a lot of big hits, that is a machine at the plate, that is really a great all-around hitter, tons of contact, hustles, a guy that Toronto fans fell in love with. That's the Bo Bichette I think you would get in year two from pillar to post. Look at the season Juan Soto's having, really from the get-go in year two. And like I said, Lindor settled in, Beltran settled in, Piazza settled in. For whatever reason, guys that position players that have a track record coming to the Mets, it takes them a little bit of time to get acclimated. I don't know if it's the pressures of the market or the contracts or whatever it is, but it takes time for some of those guys, and I think Bichette is in that same category. So I'd be very interested in Bichette coming back. I want Clay Holmes back. I want the Mets to extend him. There's already a report out there from Will Salmon in The Athletic that Clay Holmes is very much open and interested in sticking around with the Mets and signing an extension. So if I'm David Stearns, if I'm the Mets, I would do that. Clay Holmes was pitching like an all-star. There's no doubt in my mind that Clay Holmes would be in Philly right now as an all-star representing the Mets if he had not gotten hurt. And the injury was a freak injury. It was not something that was to his arm or his shoulder or anything like that. So it is something that I think he can bounce back from. It has gone final, by the way, AL for National League 0. So nothing really changes. The American League beats the National League essentially every year. National League got 3 hits. It's amazing because this year it's like, all right, the National League is the superior league. Superior. Records of their teams, head-to-head matchups. National League has been dominating the first half. You get to the All-Star game, National League has 3 hits, and they lose 4-0. And the American League just continues their dominance in this game. It really is amazing. Year in and year out, the American League dominates the All-Star game. And this year, like I said, the National League has been the superior league. There's no debating that. There's no disputing that. You get to the All-Star game, and it's no surprise based on history, or at least recent history, and that is the American League is victorious. Now, I didn't see who won the MVP, but I would imagine Cody Bellinger's winning the MVP. I mean, he had 2 RBIs to start the scoring for the American League. I would imagine it'll be Bellinger winning the MVP, but we'll get that to you as soon as we find out. Let's go to Artie in Rockland here on After Hours. What's up, Artie?
Loogie, what were you doing? You had some knucklehead that called a while back talking about right-handed catchers and left-handed catchers, Austin Wells.
Yeah.
The Yankees have had very few. And he mentioned all the great righty batters.
Yeah.
Johnny Bench, Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra batted righty? If Yogi Berra batted righty in his career, I'm 76 years old. I saw most of his career. I'm playing shortstop for the Yankees Friday night.
He mentioned Yogi Berra right out of the gate?
What?
I didn't I think he was talking about right-handed throwing catchers, too.
Listen to me. Every catcher in the history of the major leagues on a regular basis has to throw righty because they can't throw out a guy trying to steal third.
No, I understand that, but one day I think, you know, we could see somebody throw
left. Yogi is a righty batter.
Oh, he did. Okay. Then I missed that when we were talking.
Yogi's a lefty batter.
I understand that.
He's one of the greatest.
I get that. All right. So we've established that I missed it, and I also mentioned Mike Piazza, which probably got lost in the word salad. Sometimes when a caller like you're doing right now doesn't stop talking, we talk over each other, and the audience misses.
Sorry,
it's all good.
Sorry, but listen, he also mentioned Dominguez can't hit righty. Dominguez is batting better righty since he came up from the minors than he is lefty. He's a natural righty. He's doing fine. This guy was a knucklehead who said Yogi was a righty and Dominguez can't hit righty. Not true.
Yes, we've established that.
Okay. The other thing, now I want to ask you something very interesting. I have a strategy that I thought about. You know, Dominguez is such a fast runner. He can bat righty, lefty. He gets on base, got power, he's got speed. The Yankees should start the lineups. The top 3 guys should be speedsters. They should be Caballero, Dominguez, Jazz, Volpe even. We never score in the first inning. We should have these guys at the top of the order stealing and running and trying to score in the first and second inning. We never score, the Yankees. We always wait till the end of the game to score. Do you think it has some merit that I'm saying bring the guys, the real speedsters at the top of the lineup?
Yeah,
what
I mean,
do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an old school mentality, but I understand what you're saying.
Right.
You want to set the table for the power hitters,
yeah.
And you want to get off on a good foot to start the game, whether it's the first or second inning, so that your pitching can dominate and you can, you know, have set the tone for the game. So I don't have an issue with that, but the problem is the Yankees don't think outside the box like that. They're kind of set in their ways, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I know, but Dominguez is 7-for-7 stealing bases, and he hasn't played all year. The guy could steal 50 bases if they let him run rampant. Just let him run.
I mean, you got to get on base, too, to steal.
Do it.
I don't know about 50 stolen bases.
He's
I don't think he could steal 50 bases.
Big.
50 bases is a lot. Now, could he steal 25, 30 bags?
Well, if he's played 150 games and they let him play every day, the guy can get into a groove. He's a really hell of a talent. They just keep screwing him for the last couple of years.
That part is fair. I agree with that. And injuries and stuff of that nature. You're right. I mean, Jason Dominguez does have a ton of talent. You're 100% spot on there. But the Yankees have kind of been, you know, half one toe in of the water, one toe out of it.
Right. And they don't really have a protocol, a typical leadoff batter. Give that kid a chance. Let him lead off every game. Let him play 15, 20 games in a row as a leadoff batter instead of this Paul Goldschmidt, who's exhausted at this point in the season. He stinks the second half. He stunk last year.
Yeah. Well, I think he's an older player, and he gave you, by the way, Bellinger won the MVP.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah. When you look at Paul Goldschmidt, what he gave you in the first couple of months was prime, borderline Hall of Fame Paul Goldschmidt. But you can't expect that over 162, to your point. You have to imagine he's going to wear down in the second half, and that's where the trade deadline comes into play. The Yankees are going to have to bring in reinforcements. They're going to have to bring in multiple bats in the infield.
I'd love to see some of those fast runners at the top of the order. Even Volpe. Volpe's a quick guy, fast runner,
he is.
Steal bases.
He is.
I want to see the guys. I'd love to see. Just try it. Listen to me, please. If
but you also want to give more. The reason why baseball does this now, they want to give their best hitters more at-bats. So that's why you see lineups like that now. And it doesn't matter about speed anymore. Yeah, it's analytics, but it's also just common sense. You want to have your best players get more at-bats.
But I'm telling you, you give Dominguez 4 or 5 at bats every game. He's going to steal base. He's going to get on. He's going to run. He's going to go crazy on the base pass. The guy's a tremendous. He's so fast. One of the fastest runners in all of baseball. Not only that, Lugie, I'd love to see these guys first and third, second to home, stealing, going crazy. That's exciting. You know what I'm saying? They're not exciting with Goldschmidt and Rye. And, you know, Bellinger.
Well, the leadoff spot for the Yankees, and I appreciate the call, Artie. The leadoff spot for the Yankees has just been sort of. They haven't been able to really find that, whether it's Grisham, whether it's Goldschmidt, it's that prototypical ideal guy that you're putting at the top of the lineup. And I agree with you on some things about Dominguez, but unfortunately he's gotten hurt or they haven't fully believed in him, and that has led to some of the decisions and some of the. It's much like Francisco Alvarez, where it's stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And that could be problematic at times because it doesn't allow a young player to fully realize their potential. And I think that's what's happened to a Dominguez. That's what's happened to an Alvarez. And the Yankees have not fully committed to Jason Dominguez, even though he has, like you said, and it's true, all this talent, the speed, and just hasn't fully realized that in the big leagues. And eventually, whether it's Jason Dominguez or a Volpe or Spencer Jones, like at some point you either have to be that player that at least the organization thinks you're going to be, or they have to be part of trades where you are acquiring even though I don't think the Padres are going to move him, a Mason Miller or a Hunter Goodman or a Rafael Devers, because you're not going to get those guys for a song and a dance. And if you don't want to part with George Lombard Jr., then you're definitely going to have to part with some of the guys I just mentioned. A Will Warren. Like, there's just no other way around it. But the Yankees definitely need a right-handed catcher to go along with their left-handed catcher, although I would just get rid of Austin Wells, but I understand if you want to keep him because of defense. But if you want to have a slight platoon, like a 70-30 with a right-handed catcher, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. Hunter Goodman would be the name right at the top of my list. Luis Arraez is another name I'd put up there for an infielder because he doesn't strike out. He hits for a high average. So that makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. They have to cut down on the strikeouts. And if the guys that they currently have are not going to do it, then they have to add somebody to the lineup that doesn't strike out a lot. That would be the strategy I would have if I was Brian Cashman. James is in Bergen County. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy?
Hey, what's up?
So I heard you talking about being at Fanatics Fest on Saturday. I'm glad you're going to be there. To preface, I'm a massive fan of you. I was introduced to you on the Evan and Tiki show. But
thank you.
Love all you guys, obviously. So I'm a custom card creator, and I drew you, and I made some custom cards that I want to give to you. I just wanted to let you know that I'll be there on Saturday, and I would love to give them to you, possibly get you John Hancock on one of them. But
yeah.
If you're okay with that. But I am a card designer, and I wanted to show you some stuff I do. I do some work with your guy Tommy DeVito, actually, as well, some camp stuff like that. But,
awesome.
Yeah, just throw it out there. I don't know if it matters, but my page is called Espo's Doodles, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, a massive Giants fan, massive fan of you guys.
Love
I just wanted to make a few things for you. I'll see you on Saturday.
Very excited to see you, Jimmy. Appreciate you calling. Yeah, absolutely. Love to see that card. I very much have appreciated that. Sign it for you. Take a picture if you want, whatever you want to do. But I will be at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest this Saturday. 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. is the show. I'll be there probably a little before that. McMonagle's on the air before me. But as far as being on the, and I say stage, it's not really a stage. If you've been to Fanatics Fest before and you've seen our setup, it's a little bit elevated. At least this is what it's been. Maybe it's slightly elevated. And then we kind of put out like benches like you would as like the bleachers at Yankee Stadium. And you, the fans, would sit there, watch me, talk. And then when I'm done talking, you can then come up to me and we can talk. So it's a lot of talking. So if you're into talking and you're into watching people talking, then Fanatics Fest, the Javits Center, is a place for you, especially with the situation that we have. And we'll be out there Friday. Sean and Tiki will be there 10 to, I would imagine, 2 o'clock till 6 or so. Craig and C-Mac will be out there. And then McMonagle will be back there Saturday for a solo show at Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. Then I'm on after him. 1 to 5, and then Keith McPherson is on after me from 5 p.m. till Yankee Pre, which I think is right around 7:25. What do I look like, the program director? I know all the times here. I mean, I'm giving you vague numbers, but enough to where you know where we're at as far as the timing. And then on Sunday, it'll be Sean and Tiki again Sunday morning from the Javits Center. So very excited for that. We're very happy to be there for the third straight year. It's going to be a fun weekend. And yeah, if you along like James want to show up, if you have, if you want to come bearing gifts, I'm not going to turn you down, but you know, certainly don't have to. If you just want to say hello or you just want to watch the show, that's great because I do appreciate the fans. I'm not here. We're not here without you. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We will wrap up with your calls. One or two more segments to go here on After Hours. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. And ooh, if the Yankees were to move on from Aaron Boone, I have the perfect solution, the perfect hire for the Yankees. That's coming up before we get out of here at midnight, 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late.
11:36 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Tremendous contribution to the radio program there, Paul. Can you play that again? I didn't even know what that was.
Use the clue.
Oh, that's Carrion Sayerville, my dear friend Carrion Sayerville, who's one of her character flaws is that she has a soft spot for Rosenberg. But Carrie and I are very much kindred spirits. We're both huge fans of the Knicks. We're both huge fans of Dave Matthews Band. She saw them with Justin, I would assume, on Friday. What is it? The PNC Arts Center, something like that, right?
PNC Bank Arts.
Sure. Out in Jersey, they saw a DMB. And I was telling her, I love DMB, but obviously some of the, you know, the original group or when they were in their prime are no longer with the group. So for me, it's not the same anymore, but I do love me some Dave Matthews Band. One of my biggest regrets in life is not going to that Central Park concert that they had. I was in college at the time, but I was going locally to college and I was old enough to do something like that. And I didn't do it. And I thought that was one of the best sets, one of the best settings for concert of all time. So I very much regretted not going to that. We'll get back to your calls in just one second here. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game. Not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Another year, another victory for the American League in the All-Star game. So nothing really new there, even though the National League has been a superior league all year, whether it's head-to-head, whether it's just records of the teams in the National League. But when it comes to the All-Star game, the American League just continues to dominate this game. And they've been doing so what feels like for 20-plus years. And tonight was probably their most dominant performance that they've really ever had. And I'll get to the stats here in just one second. Cody Bellinger won the MVP, drove in two runs in the first inning. Ben Rice came up after him off of Sanchez, got an RBI single that made it 3-0. It ultimately ended up being 4-0. It was the 10th shutout in All-Star history, first since 2013. That, of course, took place here at Citi Field. The American League allowed 3 hits. That was tied for the second fewest in an All-Star game by either team and fewest since 3 in 2013 by the American League. 10 different American League pitchers recorded a strikeout, tying the All-Star game record, for most pitchers on one team with a strikeout. So the American League completely dominated the National League tonight, which it doesn't come as a surprise that the American League won because they always win, but the fact that they just dominated the National League, where the National League has been the dominant league this year, it's surprising that when all the All-Stars got together, that it was the American League that just had this dominating performance. Juan Soto struck out in the first inning, and then he had a base hit before he was removed from the game in the fourth inning. No bad reason, just was removed for, obviously, because he's a starter, and then he had to come out. So pretty big night for the locals. Soto got a hit. Rice got an RBI. Cody Bellinger drove in 2 in the first, and he won the All-Star Game MVP. So a nice accomplishment for Cody Bellinger as we now take a 2-day break from baseball Wednesday, Thursday. Although, no, the Mets are back Thursday night. Excuse me. My apologies. The Mets are back Thursday night. They are not playing Friday. They're playing Thursday. And then the Yankees welcome the Dodgers into town over the weekend. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Bob is in Keyport. What's up, Bob?
What's up, Tommy? How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Just watching the All-Star game tonight. Great game, but, you know, Juan Soto getting a base hit when it mattered and nobody picked him up. You feel like you've seen that before? I feel like I have.
Yeah, it reminds me of when he was on the Yankees. Nobody there to really pick him up.
How so?
Well, I mean, obviously.
When they got to the World Series?
Well, because Juan Soto carried him there.
Done, which is done by getting to the postseason?
Yeah. But when Juan Soto carried the Yankees to the World Series, he wasn't exactly getting a lot of help. You know, Stanton helped. But outside of that, it felt like he was a man on an island there. Juan Soto, it was Juan Soto versus the world. And luckily, he was on the Yankees because he got him to the World Series.
So it's a bad thing that he got him to the World Series, okay?
No, I didn't say that. But I wasn't going to take the bait there and when you were trying to besmirch my beloved New York Mets.
Well, no, I was talking about the Padres. No.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. You were talking about
the Mets?
Yeah, no, I know. Because the fact that I fought back there, why wouldn't you just step in and say, no, I'm talking about the Padres?
Because it wasn't the Yankees. I had to fight back.
It seemed like that's where you were going with that, Bob. Usually, you and I are in unison. Also, you call me at the back end of the show here, where I've had to deal with Rosenberg for 4.5 hours. So I'm at the point where your shtick might have just sort of thrown a fastball by me, which is totally fine if that was the case.
Yeah, I'm really sorry for you. I hope Rosenberg finds a new job fast.
So do I. He needs to get out.
He really is.
It's the worst. He just brings everybody down.
Did he bring you back your present from Disney?
No. He did not.
Oh, he did it.
No. He did not do it. He did not bring me back a present. He did not bring me back a cosmic brownie either.
And also, I have a message for you, Tommy.
Yeah, what's up?
From LeBron James. He said you did a 5-hour Lugowski tonight. You didn't talk about it once. He does not want to see your face ever again.
You're right, Bob. It's funny. You're right. The LeBron James stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. The courting of LeBron James at this stage of his career, I mean, honestly, the fact that his agent, Rich Paul, came out and said, well, if the Knicks had not won a championship last year, LeBron James would be a Knick. You know what? Tell LeBron James to go scratch. Nobody wants him here. Enough, honestly. The fact that this is even a conversation at this point, and LeBron James is a great player. He's on some people's list as the greatest of all time. Other people's list as the second greatest of all time. And maybe some of you have him a little bit more down that list as far as the GOAT, but LeBron James is a heck of a player. But this nonsense that this is Aaron Rodgers level now, where every team is lining up hoping that LeBron James will give him a rose and that he will select their team as the team that he, I would think, finishes his career with. You know what? I hope LeBron either picks Cleveland, the gutless, spineless, heartless, analytical darlings out there in Cleveland. He ends his career where it started, or LeBron James goes to Miami and he takes his talents once again to South Beach. That's what I hope, because the Knicks are going to knock them out of the playoffs. Couple things before we get out of here. Number one, let's start with this, because I've teased it all night. And I did bring this up last night, but it's a new audience. And I'll continue to bang the drum on this, because I think I'm ahead of the curve on something. I think this is very cutting edge. I have the perfect replacement for Aaron Boone if the Yankees decide to move on from their manager, which they're not going to do now, but if they decide to move on from him at some point, I do have the perfect guy to replace Aaron Boone. Rosenberg, would you like to guess who that manager that I have selected for the Yankees if, well, let's just say when Aaron Boone ultimately loses his job?
Absolutely. What's the clue?
What do you mean, what's the clue?
What's the clue?
This is not Phone a Friend. What was that show? You're not asking
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You didn't know that show?
Just guess.
I need a clue.
What direction am I going in?
I can't
give you a clue.
You can't give me any
clue? Once you hear what I have to say, you'll understand why. I can't give you a clue. Just guess.
Has he ever been a manager in baseball before?
No.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready to do this, because if
I'm
we just
thinking
sit here,
about
well,
it.
We can't just sit here and wait for you to think. Just
well,
throw
you're
your
not
name
giving
out there.
Me a clue, so now
I already teased this for 3 hours. You should have a name ready to go. What the heck? You sit here at 11:45. Let me think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
You should have thought about it all night. We literally discussed this in the 7 o'clock hour.
Because you said something earlier about swimming.
Yes.
And in relation to the manager, so I'm trying to think of Michael Phelps.
No. But I do have the perfect solution for the Yankees to hire as their manager when, we'll call it, or if when Aaron Boone is let go. A great white shark. The Yankees would hire a shark as their manager. Now, hear me out. There is
an animal?
Is it an animal, a mammal, a fish? I'm not really sure when it comes to a shark.
How is he going to...
He would obviously have a tank where he'd need to be in. So you'd have to buy, if you're the Yankees, you need to buy a tank. You have to have water. And I would imagine you need to have multiple tanks and waters so that the shark does not die. So that's number one. Number two, there would be accountability because if you lose a game and let's say you are the worst player in the game, you strike out three times, the shark would eat you.
So you die.
Well, that's a little bit morbid. We're just going to go with you'd get eaten by the shark.
You die.
So you need a taxi squad. So you're going to need a couple of extra players there. Now, we don't want to be eating the entire team in the first week. So maybe we do, hey, a month in, 2 months in. If you're the worst player on the team in a month, you get eaten by a shark.
How do you define who the worst player is? Are you just going straight stat or?
It would be up to the shark.
Up to the shark?
Yeah. Now, the shark is a little bit unpredictable. He could just decide to eat Brian Cashman. It's possible, which is not what we want him to do. We just want him to eat the players. But
so it's going to be a male shark, not a female shark?
Yeah, why? Which one is more, do you think is more?
I don't know. I wanted to be clear. I want to be clear.
Because this is cutting edge. It's never been done before, as far as I'm concerned.
That's why I want to be clear.
I missed it through the years where the great white shark was hired as a manager.
And you want a great white shark, not a hammerhead,
not a
tiger.
Let me clarify. I want a great white shark. I want the supreme shark. Because to me, it strikes fear in the heart of the players, and it brings accountability, and it creates a culture that I think where you have that laissez-faire country club atmosphere right now with the Yankees. If you have a great white shark as your manager and you're afraid of being eaten, I think it would make you not go 0 for 4 and strike out 4 times.
I actually think there's more of a chance that would happen because you're going to be nervous that you're going to die.
But again, you keep making this a little bit more morbid. We're just trying to have a little bit of a, it's a friendly family conversation.
Oh, I understand. No,
you're just going the way of your death. I just wanted to be a little
saying.
Bit, you know, I just said you get eaten. Doesn't mean you can't come back out and perhaps he just spits you out or something like that, you know. You just took it to the level that, you know, I mean, you just get eaten. That's all. You just get eaten. Yeah, that's it. You like the idea?
What if he picks Aaron Judge?
Hey, it then you better hit.
All right.
You better hit.
Who do you think the fans would pick number one for this? For the number one shark bait?
Probably Volpe.
Volpe,
at this point,
say.
Probably, unfortunately for Anthony.
I was going to say Anthony
Volpe.
He'd have
the first one that would get eaten by a shark. But I think the idea of the striking the... Because I'm trying to... Because this was a phone conversation I had with Robbie in Phoenix last night, where we're trying to... Because Robbie will hire anything over Aaron Boone. He would pick a pencil to manage the Yankees over Aaron Boone. So we got to thinking maybe a great white... Because he called up, actually, and said, if you were in a boat with Rosenberg and Marash and your cat, and there were sharks circling around the boat, would you save your cat or those two? And I said, I would throw them over immediately, and I would save my cat. So that got me saying, hey, would you rather have a shark...
So you'd pick an animal over a human?
Of course. Yeah. Over you two? Yeah. It was nice knowing you. But you're done. You think I'm throwing my cat into the water to
yes.
be eaten by a shark? Absolutely not. And as a dog lover, I expect more from you.
Well, you didn't say dog, you say cat.
No, but I own a cat. So as an animal lover that you are, as a dog lover, I would think you would understand why I would pick an animal over you.
But humans are animals.
Okay. I would literally pick you up and throw you into the water so the shark could eat you. Is that visceral enough for you? To save my cat? My special little boy?
So, keeping in the morbid theme, you're willing to murder me.
Okay.
For your cat.
I guess when you put it that way. I certainly wouldn't want to go to jail. But I think in this situation that was proposed to me by Robbie in Phoenix.
Robbie's a Phoenix strange bird.
Totally hypothetical. Yes, I would kick you and Marash overboard. You would be eaten by sharks. I would then save my cat. I would then hire the great white shark that ate you and Sean to be the Yankee manager in replacement of Aaron Boone.
You think they'd have to paint pinstripes on them?
Yes, but I also am worried about the unpredictability. So maybe we do an AI shark. Because I can control...
Now you're getting a little bit... Now you're getting into warmer waters.
I can control the shark now because he's artificial intelligence. The Yankees are analytically based. They're very much future thinking.
There we go. Now we're thinking.
So if we were to get an analytically driven AI shark to man the clubhouse and the dugout for the Yankees to be the replacement of Aaron Boone, I think that we're onto something here. I'm going to email Brian Cashman. I'll CC you on it. And I'll see what he thinks about my AI shark idea.
We went from a real shark to an AI shark. I think that was very smart.
I think that's the way to go because I don't like the unpredictability of it. Because a shark is, it could do whatever it wants. You know what I mean? It's like Jurassic Park.
Well, no one is stopping the shark.
Right. But if I have an AI shark, in theory, I can control that shark. Although movies would tell us when you try to create something like
this. Right.
I mean,
we don't want the shark to, you know, go with Skynet. Like, we can't have that.
When are you going back on vacation? Remind me. Hopefully it's soon. This is, I've had
enough.
Well,
you don't
here.
Get the Skynet reference?
Yeah, I get it. It's Terminator. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. My AI shark idea is a great idea, by the way. And if for those of you that don't understand that, that was might not have been funny, but it was certainly a joke part of the... It worked better last night with Papa Giorgio. He was a much better sort of muse than Rosenberg was. Rosenberg took, I think, it a little too literally. Papa Giorgio played along with it. Nick Papa Giorgio, fill-in producer here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. I love the fact that John Harbaugh said today that he is going to utilize Jackson Dart the same way that the Ravens all those years and John Harbaugh all those years utilized Lamar Jackson. That is music to my ears. That puts a huge smile on my face. Lamar Jackson, obviously, multiple time MVP, a great regular season quarterback. Now, obviously, I want Jackson Dart to be both a regular season quarterback and a playoff contributor as well. But let's start with the regular season stuff and this idea that Jackson Dart is going to run the football. You can't neuter Jackson Dart. You can't put the training wheels on him. The running aspect of Jackson Dart's game is a big part of his game. It's a big part of the excitement. It's a big part of his effectiveness. And the pocket passer is sort of a dying breed. You can't wrap Jackson Dart in bubble wrap. And thankfully, John Harbaugh is aware of that, which you figured he would be. He's a successful guy, and he had a lot of success with Lamar Jackson as a dual-threat quarterback. And I think Harbaugh, one of the reasons why he took this job is because he sees a lot of Lamar Jackson in Jackson Dart. So Jackson Dart being that dynamic player, dynamic runner, dynamic thrower of the football, a guy that could design runs, RPO, that is music to my ears and music, I would imagine, to my fellow Giant fans' ears. And I love that. I love that John Harbaugh sort of settled that right out of the gate here and basically proclaimed that, yes, we will utilize Jackson Dart the same way I and the Ravens utilized Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. That's the right thing to do, and I'm glad that John Harbaugh is going to do that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As far as programming for the rest of the week, I'm going to have you Wednesday, 7 to midnight. I'm going to have you Thursday, 7 to midnight. We will do an Ask Tommy Anything. That will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We will do a Settle the Debate on Thursday. So if you have an STD, if you need a debate that has to be settled, you can present that to me on Thursday. Perhaps a few surprises along the way as well. But we got two more Big Lugowski's 5-Hour After Hours coming up tomorrow and Thursday as we get everybody set for a second half of the baseball season. That'll do it for me. My thanks to all the listeners. My thanks to all the callers. Am I forgetting anybody?
El Pegamento.
Paulie Rosenberg.
The great glue, Paul Rosenberg.
I think I need a drink. That'll do it for me. Danielle McCartan comes your way next. I will talk to you later on tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9.